Take your Bibles, let's go to Psalms 139, if you'll see your first slide on the screen. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 19. If I was preaching through this whole psalm, in fact, I got in my Bible, right beside Psalm 39, big thoughts about God. And it is talking about God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, and God is omnipotent. But in that text, in verses 13 through 16, deals with the unborn baby. So I want to speak to you today on the subject of the sanctity of human life, but with the sermon title, Pro-Life in a Culture of Death. We're living in a culture of death around us in America, and life is no longer important, whether it be unborn, whether it be born, whether it be 90 years old, whether it be euthanasia, whether it be a person has the right to take their life if they want to in their life, or whether it be out there on the street getting shot for $2. We're living in a culture of death. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin reading in verse 13, go through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins. It's talking about the unborn babe. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, or my body, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, or not complete. And in thy book all the members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In other words, God knew all about you before he ever placed you in the mother's womb, right? And he knew every aspect about you. God knows when you're in the lower parts of the earth, speaking of the womb, God knew you and God formed you. Father, I pray today as we speak on this subject, pro-life and a culture of death, I pray you educate us to be able to educate others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Again, this is sanctity of human life. The word sanctity means being holy or being blessed or virtuous or valuable. Life is valuable to the God that we serve. And so we want to talk about that today. Let me give you a few shocking statistics to start out with. Since Roe versus Wade in 1973, there have been 55 million plus abortions. I read a stat the other day on the news that says that the reason why America is in the economic shape it's in because we have more people that are not working than people that are working. That there, for the first time in the world, America has been more people dying than having more people being born, right? I will submit to you, 55 wage earners would have went a long way, right, in that regard. As I looked at this, 61.8% of abortions were performed less than 9 weeks. Most of them are performed when the mother is 9 weeks or less. And that is by what's called suction aspirator, or aspiration. That's where the baby is chopped up and the baby literally is sucked out of the womb. 1.5% by chemical injection. This is usually 21 weeks plus. The baby is injected with chemicals, literally burns to death or literally starves to death. It's a long process of several weeks for the baby to be terminated. 36% of abortions, regardless of what you might believe, are performed by white women. 36%. And of that group, age 20 to 24 has the higher percentage of abortions, 32.6%. And of the people of the age group. But the highest percentage of abortions is by 72% by people who have never been married. Okay? So since we believe in the authority of Scripture for faith and practice, the choice is clear, pro-life, right? I'm appalled when I hear Christians talking about, I'm a Christian, but I believe in pro-choice. I believe the mother has the right to do with her body as she wants to. That's a lie. We'll look at it in a minute. The president says it's okay. The Congress says it's okay. The Supreme Court says it's okay. And by the way, let me say this, Supreme Court is fixing to listen to gay marriage, and it's going to be settled once for all, but with their track record, it's not going to go in the right direction. So whatever they say, whatever Planned Parenthood says, we take our beliefs from Scripture, right? It's not what other people said, but it's Scripture rightly interpreted. That's where we get it from. So I want to begin today to look at, begin with this subject on sanctity of human life, and I'll begin where God begins, with the doctrine of creation. And I want to share with you five truths. If you'll see the first one on the screen, I could say it this way, why I'm pro-life. Why I'm pro-life. Number one, God sets forth human life as sacred. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. That should about settle it, right? In the beginning, God created. I appreciate all those amens. The rest of you will get on in a minute. You got to get on the bus. The bus is moving, amen? God created. That ends it. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We do not believe that God created through evolution. We are not evolutionist creationists. We believe God created in 6 literal days, 6 24-hour periods of days. That's fundamental to the Christian faith. If you don't believe Genesis 1 through chapter 1 through verse 11, I don't think you have a right to call yourself a Christian. God created. That's what we believe. We worship and serve him because he is the creator, and he has authority to rule over our lives. Romans chapter 1 says they deny the truth for a lie and they suppress the truth so they can live their life any kind of way they want to, stupid thinking that they're going to somehow go through life and at the end of life they're going to escape the judgment of God. No. They may suppress God and they may suppress the truth of God's word, but they will stand before him one day. God as creator is fundamental to the Christian faith. Life is sacred because we were created and did not evolve by chance. You know, the elite think they're so smart, but how smart is it to think that nothing plus time equals something, right? Just think, what if I went out in the yard and began to look at the backyard in a certain spot, and if I gave it enough time, something would appear? What would appear is one of the cats wanting to be fed, right? You've got to be, I'll call him what Jesus called him, a fool. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Evolutionists and the elitists today would have us to believe that man is equal with animals. So if we're equal to animals, then it doesn't matter, right? An animal's life is just as important as your life. And I believe we ought to be good. I don't want the pet lovers to get excited, but I believe we ought to take care of pets and animals and God's creation, but never place them over a human life, right? So they believe that we're equal with animals. We're nothing but animals, so therefore it doesn't matter about life. And they get more upset when you step on a snail than if you terminated a baby. We are the crown of God's creation and set apart for God. Now, I've seen a lot of people that I didn't look like to see. How in the world can they be the crown of God's creation? But man is the crown of God's creation. We have a purpose. We're created in his image, as Brother Ray said this morning. We are capable of having a relationship with God. We are triune beings. We can make moral choices. Your pets can't do that. But God has placed within you the ability to make moral choices. We are made in the image of God. And there's a big void in our hearts until we come to Christ, until we recognize his lordship in our lives. We're eternal beings, Ecclesiastes says. God has placed eternity in our hearts. And people are looking for pleasure and they're looking for that peace in all the wrong places. And it will not bring it about. So God sets forth human life as sacred. Secondly, you know why I'm pro-life? Because Satan is not. I'm pro-life because Satan hates death. Loves death and hates life. Satan hates life. Jesus came to save, restore, and renew life. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Abortion is none other than the Old Testament sacrifice of burning your babies, passing through the fire in the Old Testament. Offering up the babies to the god of Molech, the god of Baal, passing through the fire. Jeremiah 19, verse 4. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor the fathers have done, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Guess who that is? The blood of innocents. I would suggest to you today that 55 million plus babies, are their blood is crying out from the earth, and God's curse is on America. The blood of innocents will be revenged. What kind of person would take the most sacred place on earth, the mother's womb, and invade it and destroy the blood of innocents? He says, they have built also high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came into my mind. See, they're doing things that God ain't even thought about. Ooh, that's something, ain't it? Huh? He says, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Jesus in the Gospels used a synonym for these places that I just got through reading to you. He called it Gehenna, eternal hell. So God desires to give life. Satan wants to take life. I told you before, and I don't know if Linda knows about this, but we had a cousin. Her daughter was in Satan worship. And they found her dead, hung in the shower. And she had, with her own blood, wrote satanic things on the shower stall. Satan is out to kill, folks. He doesn't care about life. So God sets forth human life as sacred. Satan hates life. And thirdly, I'm pro-life because life begins at conception. Now say it with me. Life begins at conception. Conversely, life does not begin when the baby is deemed viable by some abortionist. Life does not begin when the baby is delivered. Life begins at, say it with me, life begins at conception. Well, I feel like an old Negro preacher this morning, right? Life begins at conception. It is not, what do they tell us? They say, well, it's potential life. No, it is actual life. It's not potential life. It's actual life. And now let's look at the Old Testament. God had plans for us before we were conceived or born. In Jeremiah 1, verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, talking about Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Did you hear what Jeremiah just said? Before I formed thee in the belly, speaking of the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Before he was even formed in the womb, God ordained Jeremiah, and Paul said this later in Galatians, to be a prophet or to be a preacher, right? John Stott, popular preacher, he says of Psalms 139, the psalmist surveys his life in four stages, past, present, future, and before birth. And in all four of these stages, he refers to himself as I. Go back to Psalms 139 and circle the word I when you have time and see how many times it's used. So whether John Stott is saying that whether he's in the womb or out of the womb, he has personhood. That's the big lie they tell us. Well, the baby is not a person. But notice Psalms 139. Notice Jeremiah that we quoted a while ago. Notice Jeremiah 19 and Jeremiah 1. How many times the writer refers to himself as I, a person. The baby is a person. And the one today that has violated his rights mostly is the blood of the innocent in the most sacred place, the mother's womb. Okay? Just what John Stott says. Now let's look at the New Testament. Paul was set apart from his mother's womb. I said that while ago, Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Separated from mother's womb, not talking about being born. He's talking about he separated him to be a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles while he was still in his mother's womb. He separated him, sanctified him, and set him apart. The baby is a human life. It's not a blob of tissue, right? It's not a tumor. I mean, you see the picture up here, what the feet of the baby looks like at 10 weeks old, right? It is a baby. It is a person. And I've shared this with you before. The baby is human life. It's not a blob of tissue. The Greek word for babe or baby describes the baby, whether it's preborn or whether it's already born. The same Greek word is used for the baby in the womb as well as out of the womb. John the Baptist in Luke 1:41 and Luke 1:44 is referred to, he's in the womb and he's referred to by the word babe. And then Jesus, after he's born and after he's left the manger scene, he's in a house and all that stuff, Jesus himself in Luke 2:12 and Luke 2:16 is called a babe. It's the same Greek word for Jesus out of the womb as it is for John the Baptist in the womb. It is a baby. It is not a fetus. That's what they would have us believe. It is a baby. Okay? It is a baby with all the rights of personhood at conception, has a heart, has body parts as you and I, just needs to be developed. Just like people today that are walking around, a lot of people need to be developed, right? So it's a baby in the womb or out of the womb. Okay? That is important. That's something you can show somebody. Of course, if they deny biblical authority, but at least you can show them to them, and maybe the Holy Spirit will prick their heart, right? So God sets forth human life as sacred. Satan hates life. Life begins at conception. But the fourth reason I'm pro-abortion, pro-life, is abortion has consequences on a nation. We need to open our eyes, folks. Why do you think we're having the troubles we're having? It may be 55 million plus, and it may be because we have ordained gay marriage and same-sex union. I didn't see it because I didn't watch the news while Dish had dropped Fox News. They're back on there, and I got all kind of trinkets and offers from Dish to come back, you know. And, man, I got like $700 gift card, $35 off my bill for a year. But, you know, but why I didn't have Fox, I didn't watch no news because I ain't going to watch that other stuff. That's when they had the gay marriage in Florida, and some of you told me that at 12 o'clock that night, at midnight, they were lined up to get married. How sickening. How long is God going to put up with this? Man, I think I'm going to call a meeting. I wouldn't put up with it as long as God has. But God is long-suffering and patient, right? Not willing that any should perish. Abortion has consequences on a nation. Think about it, church. How hypocritical it is for us to sing God Bless America when he can't. He can't. Not with this stuff going on. There's got to be repentance. Right? And then we sing God Bless America again. We ought to write a new song and say God Bless America when we repent, right? And you say, well, we don't believe in abortion. Yeah, well, God judges a nation by its leaders, right? And we need to understand that. Y'all do understand that, right? How hypocritical that is to sing God Bless America and we're asking him to do something that goes against his character. In the Old Testament, there was severe punishment on anyone who takes innocent life, and as it was protected by the Old Testament law. In Exodus 21, verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, by what, you know, I mean, Moses called it a child, right? He says, so that her fruit depart from her. Well, that'd be a better word, wouldn't it? Fruit rather than fetus. Fruit depart from her, yet no mischief follow. That means the baby didn't die. He shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband, will lay down upon him, and he shall pay the judges determined. And if any mischief follow, in other words, the baby die, then thou shalt give life for life. Now, this to me, this is capital punishment. This is the way it ought to be. There ought to be no lawyers. There ought to be no second, third, fourth appeals. There ought not even be no bond when the evidence is clear. Thou shalt life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, and wound for wound, stripe for stripe. That's Old Testament law. But permitting the, I heard the other day, what's this guy from New York that's popular that ran for president? Was New York mayor when the 9/11 happened? Who? No? Giuliani. Giuliani goes on Fox News, and they were asking him about something to do with Islamic jihadist, extremist terrorist, right? And they were asking him about that. He says, well, you know, we don't carry out things like we used to. He says, in the Old Testament, they used to stone a woman. But we took that out of there because it didn't apply to us today. Hello, wake up, Giuliani. The Old Testament does apply, but by the grace of God, you're given the second death. You're not punished right away. In the Old Testament, you would have been stoned to death. But in the New Testament, there's no repentance. You go to hell, right? We didn't take things out of the Bible, right? They're still there. Y'all look like that really moved you on that one. Let me try that again. Okay. Oh, do you see how the world thinks? We just took that out of the Bible because it's old and archaic. If any mischief follow, then an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, burning for burning. Brother Rex, I'm old fashioned. I believe if somebody takes a life, they ought to die the same way they took that life. Amen. Permitting the murder of innocents pollutes the land and brings God's judgment. The blood of 55 million plus babies is calling out from the ground. By the way, I could go on and develop this into other things, but this is what it teaches. We cannot get by with this. Numbers 35:33. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood is defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which you shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. So I believe in pro-life because God sets forth human life as sacred. What's sacred to him should be sacred to us. Amen. Number two, I believe in pro-life because I'm against anything Satan's for, right? And he hates life. Number two, life begins at conception. Don't anybody tell you anything different. Life begins at conception. Abortion has consequences on a nation. Oh, they'll laugh you in the face if you tell them that. That's because they can't see. They're spiritually blind. They can't understand that. But number five, God is sovereign over the hard cases. Now, I would be amiss to tell you there are no hard cases in regards to pro-life or pro-choice. Okay? And there are. But what rules our thinking is two thoughts. Number one, God created life. And number two, life began at conception. So therefore, all these hard cases are already answered for us. Okay? Number one, what about the disabled child? You know there's people that abort the baby because they see there's going to be something wrong with the baby. And they don't want that kind of a baby. They're not here today. Did I mention Wendell? I mentioned Wendell a while ago about being sick. But little Justin. Myrtle's son. Why have they got another, quote, normal baby? But then when they saw the way Justin was, they put it up with it a little bit. But they moved off somewhere and left Justin with Myrtle, the grandmother. She has full custody right now. You need to know that. She has full custody. The dad didn't even fight it when the lawyers served the papers. What kind of parent is that? I'm not telling you nothing I told her. See? Quote, if there's something wrong with the baby, well, maybe it's not perfect, right? But there's no right to kill it, right? Let me show you a passage of scripture. God created a disabled and handicapped child as well. Whatever kind of baby God gives you, he wants to give you that baby for a purpose. And we don't even want there to be a birth mark on the baby. We don't even want there to be a scar. Both of our kids were born with what we call the big red marks on you, you know. But they went away after a while. Now they've still got my genes and they're still cursed. Hemangioma or something like that. John had one right up here on his head, man. That was Amy. Where was, well, we won't ask where John's was, but it's on his side. You see what I'm saying? There are people get all upset because, oh, he's not, quote, perfect, right? Exodus 4, verse 10. Now you need to remember this verse. And Moses said unto the Lord, now Moses is going before the Lord, I can't speak. Who am I to deliver these people, 6 million people, out of Egypt? He said, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither herefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who hath maketh the dumb, the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind, hath not I the Lord? Who are we to take a life when God created it? Number two, what about the child conceived from rape? Boy, this is a hard one. But again, if you start with the premise that God created and start with the premise that life began at conception, we say, well, we make an exception. We begin to make exceptions. Well, in case of rape, it's okay. Well, we've already established it's a life, right? So people say, well, my daughter was raped, so therefore we're going to have an abortion. Children should not be put to death for the sins of their fathers, Deuteronomy 24:16. Whether it's rape or no rape, the baby is still alive, right? And if you don't want the baby, give it up. There are people that will pay for the whole hospital bill to take a baby, right? But don't kill it. What I'm sharing with you now is the exceptions that Christians make. Number three, another hard case, the child conceived from incest or adultery. Well, sometime in your spare time, read Genesis 38 and see what God did with the incest of Judah and Tamar. It's still a life, right? And then probably one of the biggest lies of all, well, I believe in pro-choice because it's my body and I can do what I want to with my body. But we do not have an unqualified right to our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:18, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And women say, well, and even people who are Christians say, well, it's my body, I can be pro-choice. Well, what does that mean? Pro-murder, right? Now think about it. We've already established it's a life, right? And they say, well, it's my body. Guess what? Hello. It is a separate life than the mother's body. It is a separate body. And you are performing upon that baby something, a decision that they're not capable of making themselves, right? It's still a life. And so we say, well, the elitist and the abortionists say, well, it's a reproductive right. You've heard that lie, right? It's not your body. It's a body that God created. It's a separate life. Yes, it's connected. But I'm telling you, it is a separate life. We read that a while ago in Psalms 139. We don't call it a reproductive right or a medical procedure. It's not a medical procedure. Man, I got my ire up today because, listen, we are calling things that are sin and murder a medical procedure. So in closing, I want to ask you this question. Why do they hate life so? And do you know that there are people, let me go ahead and say this, there are people that work at certain places that some of their fees and funds go to Planned Parenthood and they don't even know it? Why do they hate life so? Why is there a culture of death? It's all around us. It's even in the Obamacare, the panel, death panel, right? Don't let anybody tell you it's not there. Don't be like Pelosi. We don't know what's in there. We got to read it first. How stupid is that? Why is there a culture of death? Because Satan is the father, is their father, and he hates life. And they're following after their father. And his one goal is to pervert God's creation and to pervert God's design. We believe that abortion, and by the way, don't let them feed you that lie. Well, the mother's going to die if the baby's not aborted. That's less than 1% of abortions. That is a lie. Don't let them feed you that. I wish I could call it what it was. Don't let them give you that line, folks. It is a life. And that's why we believe that abortion is murder. And that's why we believe that same-sex marriage is from the pit of hell. Don't get me wrong. Heterosexual sin. Don't let me get you wrong. We Christians do sin. Don't take me wrong. God, I would not close this message without telling you that God is a God of love and grace and mercy and redemption. Right? He can forgive. And he can forgive. Amen, church? Father, thank you again for the opportunity to stand on the issues of the day. It's so easy and so hard sometimes to differentiate between the Bible and politics. And Lord, I know I'm guilty at times. But Lord, when the culture and when intersects with the Bible and Christian morality, we must speak. And so we're speaking today. Along with thousands and probably millions of pastors all across the world are speaking out today, calling this evil what it is. If there's any of us here today that maybe believed that one of these hard cases was okay, help us show them, Father, that it's a life and it's murder. Don't kill the baby. Give it up to somebody who would pay all the bills just to have a baby. So may we be better equipped to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news. Thank you for the things like the Thomasville Pregnancy Center and our ministry there, and the lives that they change and the babies that they save. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.